B'siyata d'shmaya, we're going to learn Sukkah daf lamed vav. We're going to start from the very first line of the Omud. And then the Gemara takes us back to the Mishnah daf lamed dalad Omud Beis. We're discussing the halachas of Esrog. One of the halachas was Nistak and Nikiv. Nistak means that the Esrog is split, and Nikiv means there's a hole in it. And the Mishnah explained that with Nikiv, with a hole, it depends on whether the hole actually was chosar. Did it actually remove any part of the esrog? The Mishnah says, Nikev v'chosar kol shehu. If even a smallest amount of the esrog was removed, was lost because of the hole, posel, then it's posel. And the Mishnah continues that, Nikev v'loy chosar kol shehu. But if there's a hole, you just put a pin through it, and we'll soon see, even if you didn't put a pin, even if you took something very wide and you really knocked it and you made a hole in the esrog without any of the esrog itself, without losing any of the flesh, in that case, the Mishnah says kosher, the esrog is kosher. Says the Gemara, Toni Ula Bar Chanina, Nikev, this that it says at the end of the Mishnah, that if you made a hole and there was nothing missing from the esrog, that it's kosher. However, Nikev Mefulush B'mashuhu, B'she'ene Mefulush B'ki'isr. Says, however, there are two disclaimers we have to make here. If this hole goes straight through from side to side of the esrog, you put a pin going straight through the esrog, then in that case, because it's going straight through, even if it didn't lose anything, it's possible. And even if it's not mefulish, if it's a hole that's just on the surface or only going through penetrating part of the esrog, if it's as wide as an isser coin, in that case, it will be possible even if there's no flesh from the esrog that's missing. So when it says in the Mishnah that a hole which has no flesh of the esrog missing, it's kosher, it must be talking about that it's also not mefulish and also not the size of an isser coin. That's how Rashi explains this Gemara. Continues the Gemara, Boya Rava, Noil du be'esrog simone treifa mahu. We know that, and we're going to learn about this extensively in Maseches Chulin, that an animal, there's 18 treifos, the 18 things that if an animal is suffering from them, has them, then we assume and we know it's not going to live the year, and the animal is called a treifa and is not allowed to be eaten. And the Gemara here assumes that we learn some of the halachas of esrog from the halachas of treifa of an animal. So Rava asked a question, if an esrog has some of those things that were these things to happen in an animal, it would make them treifa, then what would be the halacha with the esrog? So the Gemara is now asking on Rava, what's your question? My komi boyele, in niklaf. Are you asking about an esrog that's been peeled, that the peel of the esrog is off? And we know that there is such a concept by treifa of an animal itself, which has, so to speak, been skinned. Tanina, then what you're asking, is esrog similar to treifas? Well, the Mishnah's already said that, yes. The Mishnah says that a peeled esrog is possel, and we know that a peeled animal, so to speak, a skinned animal, makes it treif. Tanina, we've already learnt it. In Nistak, are you asking about a cracked esrog, whether it has the same status as a treifa called Nistak, and that would be talking about the pipe, the food pipe of an animal, if it's got Nistak, if it's got a crack going right through it. And there are different, there's halachas and some details here, if the top ring or the lowest ring of the food pipe is still there, but we're not discussing that now. But the concept of Nistak, does the Nistak of treifa applied to Nistak by esrog? The Gemara says that also, Tanina, look in the Mishnah. The Mishnah tells us that Nistak is, if the whole thing is Nistak, then it's possible. And was Rava's question in Nikav, if you're talking about Nikav, which is one of the psulim, one of the treifos, sorry, of an animal, is if the membrane around the brain of the animal has a hole in it, that it's a treifa. So was Rava asking whether the concept of Nikav applies to esrog? Tanina, Nikav also, we mentioned in the Mishnah, as we just saw now, that Nikav is a psul under certain circumstances. So in what case was Rava actually asking a question? What didn't he know? Answers the Gemara, Ki kami boile, when Rava was asking a question, was Kedu'ula Omer Rabbi Yochanan. He was talking about this particular case that Rabbi Yochanan discussed by treifas And the Rava was asking, what would the halacha be regarding Esrog? What case is that? A Re'o, which is one of the lungs, shenishpacha kekitoin. So the way a lung is built, the lung of the animal, there's the membrane, the krum that's surrounding the lung. You've got the flesh of the lung. Inside the flesh of the lung, you've got the tubes, the lung tubes, which is where the windpipe actually goes into, and that's called the lung tubes. The question was, what happens if the membrane holding the lung is intact, but the flesh of the lung itself has become nimoyach? It's become dissolved, shenishpacha kekitoin, and it's now so liquidy that you can actually pour it like you can pour water out of a pitcher. So you've got the membrane of the lung, and inside the flesh of the lung is just liquid. And what did Rabbi Yochanan say? That ksheira is kosher. V'omar Rava. Rava, however, said, v'hu dekaima simpunha. It must be that the lung tubes are still intact, because ha loy kaima simpunha, but if the lung tubes are not intact, then treifa, the animal, is definitely considered a treif. And what Rava was asking was, hachemai, what will be in our case with an estrog, if you've got that the area of the estrog, the part of the estrog, which is where the pips are, the inside, where the chadri azera is, and that's similar to the lung tubes, that's intact. However, all the flesh around the area where the pips are has become rotten, has become like liquid, it's got ruined. The question is, do we say the estrog is possible, like in the case of the animal? Or that's the question. We saw that in the case of the animal, in that case, it's kosher, if the lung tubes are still intact. The question is, will this estrog be kosher or not? And what would be the reason to differentiate between the lungs of an animal and the estrog? Is Dilma may be hosom only in the case of the animal, deloy sholit be'avira, where the lung itself is not exposed to the elements, is not exposed to the air, hadar bari, and therefore the lung can heal itself, cure itself, and therefore it's not considered a treifa. Aval hacha, but maybe here in the case of an estrog, the sholit be'avira, that the air is, the estrog itself is exposed to the air, and therefore if we say that the flesh of the estrog is become rotten, maybe it will be considered a psul in the estrog, srucha misrachas, it will make it rotten, and therefore it will be posel as an estrog, even though the chadri azera, even though the place where the pips are, which is corresponds to those lung tubes, are still intact. Or maybe no. In the same way as in the case of the lungs of an animal, that it's going to be kosher, then in the estrog will also be kosher. That's what Rava's question was. Says the Gemara. The Gemara is going to try and answer this question from a brisa that enumerates a number of halachas of estrog. And one of them, the Gemara is going to suggest, is talking about this particular case where the outside of the estrog, the part of the estrog that corresponds to the membrane of the estrog, is intact, but the inside, the flesh, has become decayed and rotten, and where the pips are is still intact, which is exactly the case we're talking about here. And we're going to try and bring proof from the Braisa, what the halacha will be regarding estrog, but the Gemara is going to refute the proof. Tashma, what did we see in the Braisa? Estrog tafuach. And tafuach could mean decayed, it could mean it's bloated, we'll soon see, but an estrog which is tafuach, or soruach, an estrog that's rotten, or kovush, an estrog that's been pickled, either in vinegar or in chardol, Rashi says, shaluk, if it's been very much cooked or boiled, or kushi, or if it's a black estrog from the land of Kush, or lovon, a white estrog, umanumar, or an estrog that's discolored, it's spotted, we've seen this a couple of times already, in all these cases, posel, the estrog is posel. Estrog kakador, if you have a round estrog, it's like a ball, it's not like a shape of an estrog that we know, rather it's just like a ball, posel, it's posel. V'yesh oimrim, and some say, if you have a twin estrog, like Siamese twins, if you've got two estrogim twinned and merged to each other, that some say that also a tiyum is possible. Estrog haboisar, a very, very small estrog, possibly the size of just a bean-sized estrog from its blossomed stage. There to machleikus Rabbi Akiva poisel v'chachomim machshirim. Rabbi Akiva says it's too small. The chachomim say it's kosher. Gidloi bitfus. If you actually put an estrog into a mold in order to mold it into a specific shape, va'asoi kamin beria cheres, and the mold is actually not the mold in the shape of an estrog, it's the mold of a shape of a different type of species. In that case, posel, then it's posel. This is the end of the brisa. So what does the Gemara say? Ktonimius. We saw in the brisa that tafuach and saruach are both posel. My love, says the Gemara, what does tafuach mean? What does saruach mean? That tafuach mi bachutz, v'saruach mi bifnim. That we're talking about a case where tafuach is referring to an estrog that's bloated and decayed just the outside of the estrog, and saruach is talking about an estrog which is rotten from the inside. Obviously, the chadri azera are still intact, but the flesh, the rest of the estrog, has become rotten. So this case of saruach mibifnim is exactly the case that Rava was discussing here, when you have an estrog which is similar to these lungs which have become totally decayed and rotten besides for the lung tubes. Is it kosher or not? And here you see explicitly in the brisa that the brisa says saruach is pasul. So we have proof from here that the estrog is not similar to the trephus and is pasul. Says the Gemara, Loi, you don't have proof from this brisa, because it could be that tafuach and saruach, aydi v'aydi mi bachutz, they're both talking about types of problems with the estrog on the outside of the estrog, and neither of them are discussing the status of the inside of the estrog. And therefore we would have no proof as to what the halacha is of the inside of the estrog. V'loi kashi, you're going to ask a question, if tafuach and saruach are both the outside of the estrog, what's the difference between tafuach and saruach? They both mean that the estrog has become decayed and rotten. Says the Gemara, no. Hod tofach afal gav deloy sorach. Hod sorach afal gav deloy tofach. Tofach in and of itself means bloated. Sorach means it's rotten. It's possible to have an estrog that's bloated on the outside, but it's not rotten. And it's possible for the estrog to be rotten and not be bloated. And therefore, the brisa says, in either of those cases, the estrog is posel. But then the brisa is not discussing what happens when the inside of the estrog has become rotten, and we have no proof to answer Rava's question. Continues the Gemara, we're now going to discuss an estrog, which is a black estrog from the land of Kush. Omar Mar, estrog Kushi, an estrog from Kush. Posel is posel, and we saw this in the brisa we just learned, and actually we saw it in the Mishnah on the Flamed Daled Amud Beis. We also saw there the Mishnah says that estrog hakushi is posel. Asks the Gemara of Otanya. We learned in a brisa that kushi, then estrog that was actually grown in the land of Kush, kosher, it's kosher. It's just doime lekushi. When you have a black estrog that's grown out, that was grown outside of Kush, in a place where it's not supposed to be black estrogim, it's a deviation from the way estrogim are supposed to be grown in that place. It's similar to the Kush estrogim, even though it's not grown in Kush. In that case, posel, it's posel, because it's a not normal estrog. But either way, we see here that Kushi, an estrog from the land of Kush, we saw in our Mishnah and in the brisa we learned before that it's posel, and here the brisa says Kushi is kosher. Omer Abaye kitnan nami masnisin doime lekushitnan. When the Mishnah and the brisa was talking about a Kushi estrog, which is posel, it must be talking about not that it was grown in the land of Kush, but it was grown outside Kush anywhere else, and it was nonetheless black, similar to estrogim grown in Kush, and therefore it's posel. Rava Omar, Rava argues with that and says no. Whenever it's grown outside of Kush, a black estrog, it's going to be posel. However, you're going to ask me a question. When it's actually grown in Kush, we seem to have a contradiction. Is it kosher? Is it posel? No, it depends on how close you are to the land of Kush. If you live close by to Kush and you're accustomed to these type of estrogim, then you're allowed to use it, it's kosher. But if you live a little bit further away from the land of Kush, then you're not accustomed to these type of estrogim, it's an unusual type of estrog, and therefore it's posel. That's what it says. Holon, holuhu, us. We live in Bovel, and Bovel is close to the land of Kush, and therefore it's kosher. Ha'olahu, but the people of Eretz Yisrael, who live further away from the land of Kush, for them, the estrogen that were actually grown in Kush, for them it's going to be posel. Continues the Gemara, now we're going to discuss the very small estrog, the boisar estrog that we saw in the Brisa, the estrog ha-boisar. Rabbi Akiva says it's possible that Chachomim say it's kosher. Says the Gemara, estrog ha-boisar, Rabbi Akiva poisel v'chachomim machshirim, Rabbi Akiva v'Rabbi Shimon, omru dovar echod. This Rabbi Akiva is following a shitta of Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Akiva hodo omron. Rabbi Akiva, we just saw here in the Braisa that estrog ha-boisar, a very small estrog, according to Rabbi Akiva, is possible. Where do we see that Rabbi Shimon says the same? Rabbi Shimon mahi, ditnan, we learned a Mishnah in Maseches Maisus, and in Maisa we know you're only required to take Maisa from something that has the status of a fruit. The question is, an estrog ha-boisar, is it considered a fruit or not? Reb Shimon Poiter, Reb Shimon says that an estrog ha-boisar, Reb Shimon Poiter es estrogim bekoitnom, Reb Shimon says that very small estrogim, which are similar to the estrog ha-boisar we mentioned, that they are potter from Maisa because they're not considered as fruit. Omele Abaya argues with Rabba, or questions Rabba, and says, no, maybe the Rabbi Akiva that says here that a small estrog is possible, and Rabbi Shimon who says that a small estrog is potter from Eisar, do not necessarily have to hold of each other. Dilma lohi, maybe they're not saying the same thing. At kanu koma Rabbi Akiva hocha, maybe only here Rabbi Akiva says the estrog is possible, deba'in on hador, because the Torah says it's got to be a pre-ate hador, a beautiful fruit, and if it's so small, it's not considered beautiful. Veleka, it's lacking in its beauty, and therefore it's possible. Aval hosom k'rabbonon svirule. It could be Rabbi Akiva agrees to what the Rabbonon say, and the Rabbonon in the Mishnah in Maisus, who argue with Rabbi Shimon and say that the very small estrogim are chayiv in Maisa. It is considered a fruit. It's just not considered hador for estrog. Inami, or it could be ad kan leikomer Rabbi Shimon hosom. Maybe only Rabbi Shimon there says that it's potter from Maisa. Elo dechsiv, because over there where the pasuk says. Asir to Asir is called Tvuazar Echo, Ayotze Hasode Shono Shono. Besides for the fruits in Hilchas Maestras, besides for it needing to have the status of a fruit, there's another condition. It needs to be ripe enough and big enough that were you to plant it, it would actually grow. Kederech Shebene Odom Etzim Lizriah, it's got to be the size, in order to be Chayiv Maisa, it's got to be large enough that were you to plant it, it would actually grow and sprout forth. And Rabbi Shimon maintains that these very small estrogim are too small that were you to plant them, an estrog tree wouldn't come from it. Aval hocha, but in the case of estrog, whether you can use the estrog for the arba minim, k'rabbonon svirlu, maybe they hold of the rabbonon, the chachomim in the brisa we mentioned, that said that estrog ha-boisar is kosher, because it's considered a fruit. It's just not big enough that you could plant it and something will grow from it. But that's only a halach in Hilchas Maisa, it's not a halach in Hilchas Arba Minim. Vesulay Midi, the Gemara says that these differences between the halachas of Esrog and the halachas of Maisa are clear, and therefore there's no reason to say what Rabba said, that Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Akiva say the same, and there's nothing more to discuss. Rabbi Shimon doesn't hold of Rabbi Akiva, and Rabbi Akiva doesn't hold of Rabbi Shimon. Continues the Gemara. Godlay Betfus, we saw in the Brisa, that if you put a mold round a very small estrog as it's growing, and you turn this estrog into a shape of a different species, possible is possible. That's what we saw in the Braisa, Omar Rava, Loishonu Elu Kamin Beri Acheres. That's only true if the mold is not in the shape of an estrog. Aval Kibriyosu, but if it's in the shape of an estrog, kosher, then it's going to be kosher. Asks the Gemara Pshita. It goes without saying. What's the element of Chiddush in what Rava said? Of course, if the mold is the shape of an estrog, there's no problem. The Braisa said that it's only a problem if Asoyi Kamin Beri Acheres. Kamin Beri Acheres. None. We learnt in the Braisa that it's only a possible if it's Kamin Beri Acheres. Answers the Gemara no. Because it's possible that you can use the form, you can use this mold to create a type of an estrog, but a different type, a different shape of an estrog that would have grown anyway. And so on the one hand it's kibriyosai, on the other hand it's not exactly kibriyosai. And that's what Rav said the Chiddush, that as long as it's an estrog, even if it's a little bit of a different type of an estrog, a different shape of an estrog, it's still kosher. What's it referring to? Lo tricham d'avido d'apei tapei. It's what we might call the blitois. If the mold that was used has the shape of the walls of the estrog are like planks, dapima planks. It's like going in and out, in and out, in and out. And if you use that mold like that, with that particular shape, then it's not exactly kubri osoi. The asterisk wouldn't have grown in this shape in and of its own. Nonetheless, Rava says that since it's not a beria acheres, it's kosher. Continues the Gemara, itmar. Esrog shenokvuhu achborim, an esrog that was holed, that was bitten by mice. Omar Rav, Rav says ein ze hodor. Rav says that since it's not beautiful enough, it's not considered hodor, therefore it's possible. Asks the Gemara, eini, how can that be true? V'har b'chanina matbil bo v'nofik bo. Reb Chanina would be yotza, he would use an esrog that's actually been partially eaten by a person. The reason that Gemara mentions matbil bo, he dipped in, is because that's the way they used to eat back in the days. Everything was dipped in. He took his esrog, he dipped it into some dip, he ate half the esrog, or part of the esrog, and he used the other half the next day for his mitzvah of esrog. So you see clearly that even though the esrog is not whole, nonetheless, it's no issue. There's no issue of hodor there, and you can use it as an esrog. And the Gemara is asking from this incident of Rav Chanina against Rav that said that esrog shenokvu achborim is ein ze hodor. Asks the Gemara, before we take care of Rav, let's understand Rav Chanina. Ul Rav Chanina kashya masnisin. I don't understand, how could Rav Chanina do that? We learned explicitly in our Mishnah that if there's a hole with part of the esrog missing, it's nikev and chosar kol shu, that the esrog is possible. You bite into an esrog, there's clearly something missing there, then of course it should be possible. How could Rav Chanina do this? So the Gemara answers as follows. You're worried about Rav Chanina, Bishloi Memasnisin, Rav Chanina Loi Kasha. There's no contradiction between the Mishnah that says that Nikev V'chosar, that is Pasul, and Rav Chanina. Why? Because the Chosar, the Psul of Chosar, is only applies on the first day. It says, Lekachtem Lochem, Lekachtem is Lekicha Tama, we already saw this earlier on. It's got to be a whole taking, whatever you take has to be whole. And there, but that's only b'yom rishon, on the first day. So can b'yom tov rishon, when the Mishnah says that chosar is posel, it's only the first day. But can b'yom tov sheni, the second day of Sukkot, there's no problem of chosar. And therefore, when Rav Chanina, he used half an esrog for his mitzvah, it's talking about the second day. So there's no issue with how Rav Chanina and the Mishnah, how they reconcile. Elo l'rav kashya. However, we have an issue, because the psul of hodor is defines the fruit that you're using, the esrog you're using for this mitzvah, and that would apply for all 7 days of Yom Tov, or all the days of Yom Tov. So how can Rav Chanina say, how could Rav Chanina use an esrog that's been bitten and eaten by him? Rav says that an esrog that's been bitten is not considered hodor. If it's not considered hodor, then it's not considered hodor and it's possible the whole week. How can Rav Chanina use it? Rav would explain to you and say, you're right, the problem of chosar is only on the first day, we're discussing the second day, we're discussing hodor. However, when defining hodor, it depends who bit it. If a human being bit it, that's one thing. It's not so repulsive, it's not so horrible, and therefore it's still considered hodor. If the mice ate it, that's already not hodor. Shani achbarim demeisi. It's much more disgusting when mice bite into a fruit than when a person bites into it. And therefore, Rav said the esrog shenokvu achbarim is ein ze hodor. That's true, but not because it's been bitten, but because it's been bitten by mice. Rav Chanina used such an esrog that he himself bit. That's not a contradiction to hodor. Ikad omra, different version, Omar Rav ze hodor. The other way round. Rav actually said that when the mice spit into an esrog, it is considered hodor. So on the first day you wouldn't be able to use it because it's chosar. From the second day and on you can use it because chosar is not a psul, and hodor, it's considered hodor. Dahan is actually bringing proof from Rav Chanina. Rav Chanina matvil bov and ofik bov. Rav Chanina would dip his esrog into a dip and eat it and use it the next day for the mitzvah of esrog. Asks the Gemara, Rav Chanina kashya maslisin. However, how could Rav Chanina do this? There's a problem with the Mishnah, where the Mishnah says that chosar is a problem. Loi kasha, can be yom tov rishon, can be yom tov sheni, as we saw before. The psul of chosar is only on the first day. Continues the Gemara, esrog, cotton, v'chulu. And this takes us back to the Mishnah, on the Flamad Daled Amud Beis. At the end of the Mishnah, towards the end of the Mishnah says, shiur esrog, cotton, what's the size of the smallest esrog? That is kosher. Rav Meir Omer ke'egoyz, Rav Yehuda Omer ke'beitza. Rav Meir says the size of a nut, and Rav Yehuda says the size of an egg. Says the Gemara, Omer Rafron Bar Papa, Raphram Bar Papa interestingly noted that Kamachlekes Kan, in the same way as there's a Machlekes here between Reb Meir and Reb Yehuda as to the size of the smaller size Esrog, Kach Machlekes Ba'avonim Mukurzolis. Stones on Shabbos are Mukta. If a person had to excuse himself in a field and he needed some stones to wipe himself with, then because Mukta is only Asad Rabbonon, then in order to uphold the dignity of a person, the Chachomim says you can take a few stones with you to when you relieve yourself in order to be able to clean oneself. The question is, what size stones are considered usable to clean oneself and therefore would override the Issa of Mukta? It was a Machlekes, Reb Meir and Reb Yehuda. Bavonim mukruzolis, these sharp-sided stones, the tiny we learnt in a brisa, b'shabbos, regarding carrying these, moving these stones that would be mukta otherwise on Shabbos, gimel avonim mukruzolis, you're allowed to take three of these sharp-sided stones, mutal achnes kubeis akisa, you can take it into where he's relieving himself in order to wipe himself with them. The kamo shiurim, what size is appropriate to be used? Reb Meir imir ke'egris. Reb Meir says that they have to be small, like the size of a nut, but if they're going to be any bigger than that, they're too big and cannot be used. Reb Yehuda says no. Says even if they're as big as a beitza, they can be used and therefore they can be taken in on Shabbos. Continues the Gemara, and this takes us to the last statement of the Mishnah on Daf Lamed Daled Omid Beis. What's the size of the largest esrog that is allowed to be used? Ubegadol. Kadesh Yoichiz Shnaim Biyodu Div Reb Yehuda. Reb Yehuda said that the esrog has to be no larger than the size that two of them could be held in one hand. Reb Yosi Eimer Afilo Echod B'Shteyado. Reb Yosi says even if you would need two hands to hold the esrog, it's still kosher. And we already discussed this on the Flamed Aleph Amud Beis as to why they hold what they hold. Is it to do with Hadar? And the Gemara then says no, Reb Yehuda doesn't need an esrog to be Hadar. However, the reason that they needs to be that size is not because of beauty, but rather because you may, by mistake, take the lulav in the wrong hand and the estrog in the wrong hand, and you'd want to switch them. If the estrog is too big, it might fall down and become posel. That's what we saw in the Mishnah. Says the Gemara Tanya, Om Reb Yosi, Maisib Reb Akiva, there was an incident with Reb Akiva, Shebo Lebeis HaKnesses, he came to Shul on Sukkos, Vesroigu Al Kseifu, it was such a big estrog, he had to hold it on his shoulder, had to carry it on his shoulders, it was so big. Omale Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda said to them, Mishom Raya, Af Heim Omru Loi Ein Ze Hodor. You're trying to bring proof against me, Rabbi Yehuda. I, Rabbi Yehuda, say it has to be the size that you could fit two in one hand. You're bringing me proof from Rabbi Akiva that it can be much bigger. Don't worry. The Chachomim told him that it's lacking in Hodor and it's actually posel. So don't bring proof against me from Rabbi Akiva. They actually told him it was posel. And even though Rabbi Yehuda himself doesn't need Hodor, as we said before, however, Rabbi Yehuda was responding and just saying, don't bring proof against me from Rabbi Akiva because they told Rabbi Akiva himself that that esrog was posel. And Emir Tzashem, in the next shir, we're going to continue the next Mishnah.